This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Chwaba.
Who doesn't? Hey, folks, check this out. Listen weekdays at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. for the keywords to text for your chance to win in our grown-up gift list statewide text to win contest. You could win $100 cash, a Chula Vista overnight stay, and be entered to win one of 8 grand prizes on our grown-up gift list, which includes new luggage, a humidifier, and remote vacuum. Those aren't sexy gifts, folks, but they get the job done. Who doesn't want a more humid house during the dog days of winter, right?
Exactly. It's good for your skin. It's good for your skin.
Exactly. So there you go. And also text us your favorite Christmas stories, recipes, songs, carols, whatever. We're going to kick off 24 hours of Christmas music here at Civic Media next Tuesday night on Christmas Eve. Nightlight will be on two hours earlier. And we will be reading whatever you submit. And you can send those submissions to nightlight@civicmedia.us, N-I-T-E-L-I-T-E, at civicmedia.us. Be part of the fun on Christmas Eve. We'll get you in the Christmas spirit, folks. We're in the Christmas spirit right now because we're talking about something I love to talk about, and that's independent film and acting. And we're doing it with one of our local esteemed actors, Heather Arndt, who is here in the studio with us. We were talking about independent film. You said you have a feature film in the works for the coming year as well. I ask a lot of independent filmmakers this because I've had the same issue myself in the past. Where do you get your money? Where do you get your budget? Do you go to family? Do you do a GoFundMe? How does that work?
Yeah, I think a lot of people do a lot of independent fundraising now. You know, they have some people where there's incentives for them to sign up for certain things. I've seen that a lot with filmmakers. And some of them, yeah, are personally funded. So these filmmakers out there, you know, please, please, please support their films. Please, when we're talking about supporting local, please don't forget your local filmmakers because they are really working hard and they're putting out something great for your entertainment. If you guys like watching movies, you guys like watching TV, like support them because they are amazing.
Most definitely. And, you know, if the incentives pass in Wisconsin, and like we were talking about during the break, a lot of bigger projects come here and it does become a hub, mm-hmm. It employs a lot of people. And I think I've done this before because I've raised money, but I think every dollar you spend and put on the screen or into the budget, like $6 or $5 comes back into the community. So you're absolutely right about supporting local.
Right.
All right. So let's get to the fun stuff here, Heather. You won an award for Best Supporting Actress in a Feature Film at the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards. I had some of those guys on the show. They were talking about, this is the first one.
Yes.
And you won Best Supporting Actress. That's kind of cool. Tell us about
really
that.
Cool.
Yeah.
It was for our feature film called Amro that we shot last October. We spent a week, only a week, shooting a full feature film.
It was incredible.
A bank heist. It was an action film. That was my first action film. I tend to get cast, or there's just more of drama films, so I do a lot of crying or that type of thing on set. So this was really, really fun for me to kind of step outside of what I normally do and have this fun bank heist film and all this action where people are getting beat up or all sorts of things are happening there. But that film won Best Feature Film at the awards as well. And then, yeah, I won Best Supporting Actress, which was, like, such an amazing feeling and so cool.
I can't even imagine. Like, and what does that do? Like, does that solidify your relationship with the director? Like, they have to be impressed, too. Like, they cast you, you bring home some hardware, and they must be like, wow, we hit a home run with Heather. We're going to use her in our next project.
Yeah,
is there
I hope, talk of that? I hope so.
Yeah.
It's hard because everybody's kind, like, that we shot with some people that are out in Canada. You know, there are some people that were local, so everyone's kind of everywhere. But yeah, I would love to work in another project. When I auditioned for that role, I felt good about that role. I really, you don't always I shouldn't say you don't always feel good about your auditions, but sometimes you're like, did my best, what happens. But I felt good about that audition, and seeing the final movie, I can't imagine really anybody else in any of the roles. I feel like it was cast perfectly. We all just kind of came together, and none of us knew each other, except for Tony and I. None of us knew each other beforehand, so we were all kind of getting together, and you have to really kind of build that chemistry right away and then shoot for that week and make sure that it comes off, you know, like you guys do know each other and like it's actually legit.
It's so interesting because I didn't realize when I was younger how integral casting was and how important of an art form that really is matching the right characters.
Right.
And because you really like, you go from words on a page to, and I've had people say, can I improv here? And it's like, you know, as a writer, you go, those are my words, you know, and then they do something. You're like, oh my God.
Because it's real. It makes it real. It makes, you're bringing yourself into that character. And I'm always really happy. I usually ask too, because I don't want to be like, do you really want me to just say it just like that? But I don't think anyone's ever said no, that, you know, like you can't do that, because you're just bringing, it's so much more real. You're bringing your own nuances and the things that you would normally say or move or do into the project. And speaking of, you know, having that chemistry, I mean, even after they audition people, they'll have chemistry reads just to see, hey, let's see how you two do together. Let's see what that chemistry is like if we brought you in a scene together. So they do have separate reads then just for chemistry before they finish casting. So, it is important.
That's so cool. Who are your influences? Like when you grew up watching movies, TV, whatever, who did you see on screen and go, your personality reminds me a little bit of Terry Garr. Have you ever had that comparison before? She just passed away. She's much older than you. She's in her 70s, but she was in Mr. Mom. She played the wife.
Okay, I'm going to have to look her up.
Look her up. And it's more of a demeanor you have, but you kind of look like her too, but it's more of a demeanor, I would say, and kind of a sense of humor. But do you have influences and people that you kind of thought, man, I could do that? Or
I mean, honestly, my biggest influence growing up was all the soap operas I watched. Honestly, Susan Lucci, who was always up for a nomination for year after year after year until she finally won.
Did she finally win?
She finally won. Oh, it was, wow. I don't know how many nominations it was. It was kind of getting depressing.
Like decades worth or something like that.
Yes. Yeah. But really that had the most integral, you know, experience for me. It was the most, you know, immersed I was in acting, because, you know, we didn't have, like I said, we didn't have the internet. So when my mom wanted to watch a show, we're watching a show, and her show was the daytime soap opera, All My Children. So I watched it with her, and I don't know if that's great for kids, because
Mom, is it normal to sleep with a lot of other men when dad's at work?
Yeah, because everyone's breaking up and then they're dating their brother. Right. You know, the person you broke up with, your brother, now I'm dating him. And then everyone, when they get mad, throws things and they break things.
That's not normal?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because my parents have been together for over 50 years. And my dad is like so humble and so sweet. I think I've only ever seen him get upset and angry twice in my life. Hmm. And that wasn't even that bad. So,
was it at you?
Probably. But like they are the opposite of daytime soap operas. But growing up, I thought like, that's it. That's what you got to do. And I remember in elementary school, I had a boyfriend. Who has boyfriends in elementary school? Give me a break. And some girl told me that he was talking about some other girl. And so I was like, that's it. It's over. I was very traumatic.
Oh, wow.
And so I ripped off the necklace he gave me, had my girlfriend's in tow. We pulled it apart and we threw it at him and said, it's over, and walked away.
That's a soap opera moment.
It really was. That's what it taught me. And that's not great. And then in my 20s, I realized that's not cool. You don't do that.
Right. We'll have more with more breakup tips with Heather coming up. Heather Arndt is my guest. She is a Wisconsin actress based here in Green Bay. What's the coolest project you've been part of, whether it was in Wisconsin or when you traveled for work? What project did you not want to end? And where can we see it if it's available?
Gosh, I mean, that is so hard. I hate when people ask me those questions because it's like so many things. I think about some of the most recent work I've done and the one that I won the award for.
Yeah.
I think people should really, really watch Amro when it's streaming. We don't have it streaming yet, but please watch that because it is a great, great film.
Well, you'll have to let us know when that comes out on streaming. Yeah. What would you tell, you said you started acting at a pretty young age.
Yeah.
What would you tell people who want to get into this business but don't have access to. Like, growing up here, you don't really meet a lot of actors who are working. So yeah. You don't have those role models, I guess you'd say. So if someone came to you and said, how do I get into this business, what would you do?
Well, I agree with you that you don't meet a lot of people because you don't know who is an actor out here. But I think, you know, everything has changed so dramatically now. I mean, you can go on the internet and connect with people. And there are so many actually working actors in the Milwaukee, Chicago area. I think if people want to get into acting, they should, you know, sign up for classes, sign up for improv. That's huge. Obviously, if you're still in school, please do the musicals and all that fun stuff. But really just, I mean, even taking online classes, there's so many talented people, you know, doing that as well. So just YouTube videos, people, like, there's such a wealth of information. I'm kind of so jealous of all the people that are younger now. Yes, that you have so many choices and so many opportunities, and you can take seminars and classes not only here but other places with really well-known people. You have so much opportunity. So if it's something that you really, really want to do and that feeling's not going away, like, please pursue it. Because I always tell my kids, you know, when you're looking for something to do, find out what you are interested in, what gets you up in the morning, and then kind of follow that thread and see what's out there.
Absolutely. That's a great answer. So, all right, we have about a minute left. Are you ready for Christmas?
Well, yeah, I told you I'm going to have dusty presents under the tree.
All right. So fair enough. What is your favorite Christmas movie? Do you have a movie or three or five that you go to every year?
Yeah. And my boyfriend would hate me because he's always like, so why do we always watch this? We watch this every year. There's new movies, but I'm a creature of habit. What can you say? I love Christmas with the Cranks. That is such a great movie.
I love that
his
movie
favorite
too.
Movie
Thank
ever.
You. It's so good.
It's a Wonderful Life.
I could watch it over and over again. Home Alone, obviously. Yeah. You got to be watching that. Elf.
Yep.
And then, like, Christmas Story. You know, those are, like, the standard ones that I need to watch. I'll watch Christmas with the Cranks in summer. I mean, I don't care. Wow. Sometimes you get that moment. It's like July, Christmas in July. Let's watch it.
That seems like aberrant behavior to me. Watch a Christmas movie in July. Conrad, are you that much of an addict for Christmas?
I can't say I've watched Christmas with the Cranks in summer.
I think you have to have a party. Do like a pool party to show a Christmas
movie. You know, campgrounds do that. They have that Christmas party. Yeah, wow. Christmas in July. You know what? Just say celebrate life. If you're feeling it, do it. I am all about celebrating everything. Use the good china.
That comes across, and you've been a lot of fun to talk to here. So thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah,
continued
thanks.
Success. Let us know when these movies come out. Yes. We'll come back. We'll do it again. And I'll give you my Netflix password, so stand by.
Wait, not Netflix.
Peacock.
Peacock. He's got me.
All right. Okay, we'll do Peacock, and we'll do a little exchange.
What
here,
do
like
you got? Yeah,
recipe.
What passwords you got?
Paramount Plus. I got that.
Oh, I got that one.
I already got that one.
I need Pluto. All right, we got to wrap up with Heather. Thank you so much, Heather Arndt, folks. Check out her work. And hey, Rob Breckenridge coming up next, also in studio. He's going to give us some laughs. It's Peach Wobba Nightlight.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Our question tonight is, what does chocolate cover most deliciously? And we've had a lot of great answers. Cherries. Heather just said cheese, which I didn't think was fathomable, but she made it sound okay. She said it was delicious, like cheesecake, which makes sense. Peanuts, peanut butter, cookies. We've heard it all. Ice cream, Conrad said. I say strawberries, Rob?
Yes. Raisins.
Raisins, yes, like raisinettes.
Yep. Shrimp. that's white chocolate.
Okay, that is the voice of Rob Breckenridge, who is fast becoming one of my favorite guests. It's great to have you here.
It's great
in the studio,
back.
Buddy. He is an Appleton-based comedian who obviously travels all over. We first met in L.A. Is that too quiet? And then I don't know if we lost touch because we were never like tight or anything,
right.
But I'm so glad I got to know you more since I moved back here and you moved back here.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. And you're a legend, you know, you've always been a legend in the comedy world. So.
Right. Okay.
It was obvious our paths were going to cross eventually, right?
Absolutely, especially being in Northeast Wisconsin.
Yep.
And you just told me that Jimmy Pardo, who's been on the show, and Lance Barber, who's been on the show, did a podcast together.
Yes.
Rudely, without inviting me. No, I'm kidding.
I know.
They were on the show, and they did this great podcast, so that was fun.
And Never Not Funny podcast was talking all about you throughout the whole thing there.
Oh, my goodness.
Singing your praises.
That's very nice. So, all right, so catch us up. What's going on? How you been?
Good. You know, I'm doing all the comedy stuff.
Yeah.
This is how I do it, which is, right. A lot of people don't get it.
People think that means give me a side of fries. They don't know what's going on.
Or you're doing some mentalist stuff. Pulling back out my old Kreskin stuff now, you know, since he's gone.
Did he die?
Yeah.
Oh,
last
man.
Week. I shouldn't be
what?
Making. Yeah. It's too soon to be making jokes about Kreskin.
Not for you, buddy.
I'm going to make those jokes disappear.
You can do that. So you used to do like an impression of Kreskin?
I didn't.
Oh. Okay.
But how?
It's never too late.
No. How would you? I guess he had a weird way of talking.
He kind of did.
He was just kind of a strange guy.
Didn't Carson used to impersonate?
Yeah, he was great, though. I mean, Kreskin, he would do these amazing things.
Yeah.
And,
That's fun.
No, it's like a party trick and stuff. You know?
Yeah. I like the mustache.
Oh, thanks.
So I have a question here for you. I was going through your website, and I love reading all your stuff, but you have you have looks from over the years.
Yeah.
So many different looks.
You got
mustache, crazy feathered hair, serious mugging. Was that for acting or just your comedy headshots over the years?
I guess I never see my face, but it's I'm known as a very muggy kind of guy, you know.
Yeah. I mean some of the great other comics that do that are Brian Regan, Jim Carrey. I mean, sometimes, does it take more energy to do your act when you have to be so animated? Do you sometimes wish you could just go up there and barrel through the jokes and get the hell out of there?
I don't think I've ever done it any other way. Really? I think when I started out doing it, it was like in open mics and stuff, and I had to kind of accent what I was saying.
Yeah.
And I do, and I have like really big eyes and big teeth and everything, so it kind of... you know, I can go... like with this mustache, I can go from Charlie Chaplin to Groucho Marx. Charlie Chaplin, Groucho Marx.
You just did a thing that reminded me of the guy in the boat who was in the dinghy in Caddyshack and sees the big ocean liner coming right at him, and he looks up. And says,
but I think the one clip, the one reel that I had on that went millions of views on TikTok. I had the mustache and I wore a suit coat, so I decided to start doing that now, just to see if. Maybe I should stick with one look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. And how did that go?
Well, I've just started it. I shaved off my beard a couple of weeks ago, and I'm only going to wear like a black t-shirt and a suit coat and have the porn stash, I call it. It really looks like I should be delivering a pizza.
You know what would go great with a mustache?
What?
A tube top. Oh. Just think about it, Rob. I'm just saying. You don't want to keep people guessing.
I got to lose a little weight first.
Well, don't
worry. Figure out which roll had the nipple, you know, to put it on. When I get to the chins, I know I've missed it.
Did you just do a gig at Skyline Comedy Cafe in Appleton with Mike Merrifield?
Yes.
And another Wisconsin comic, too. It was like three of you guys.
Jack Haisley, yep.
Okay, so how did that go? How was that week?
Excellent.
Yeah?
Well, the first night, it was that cold snap that we had.
Oh, right.
30 degrees below zero or something. And no one really showed up. It was like eight people, but they were great. Man. If you come out to comedy and 30 degrees below zero, you're going to laugh.
Yes.
You know, you're not going to sit there. And then the next night it was completely packed and they were great too.
Okay.
And then Saturday I had to do like a corporate gig in Elkhart Lake at the Osthoff Resort.
Oh,
and there was like 800 people and all talking. It was a big, you know, one night I'm being carried off on the shoulders, you know, and the next night I'm like, today, I consider myself the luckiest man. It was so echoey in there.
They're looking up at you going, could you keep it down? We're trying to have a conversation.
Yeah, you're like, they really. And they were trying to heckle me, but I couldn't hear them. So I'm like, I know you're trying to heckle me, but I can't hear you even more than you can't hear me.
Those Christmas gigs, if I remember correctly anyway, pay pretty well, though, don't they?
Yes, they do pay well.
800 people.
And it's like cruise ships. There are people that are not there to see comedy, but it pays really well.
Right.
And then when you go to a place where they are there to see comedy, it doesn't pay that well, but they're funner. They're fun gigs, you know?
Did you ever work a club where the owner said, like, it was a summer gig and the owner said, well, it's summer money?
Yeah.
That, do they still do that?
Yes. Well, if they're even open in the summer, because that's death for comedians, as you know.
I remember my buddy Steve Seeger, and I don't know if you know
Yes,
Steve.
Yes, I know it. Scotch, is there anything you can't do?
Someone told him they were going to pay him summer money. He goes, oh, great, I'll do my summer act.
I love that. That sounds so Seeger.
So what's that week like? Are you... You're a headliner, but I saw that you were middling. Is that because you guys are buddies? Like, you just wanted to work with him, or?
Yep. Well, I started Mikey out in the business.
Oh,
and
wow.
Now he's huge. He's opening for Rob Schneider all over the country. And
yeah.
Yeah. He works for 800 Pound Gorilla, you know, the recording company. So he actually records. He put out a new Robin Williams album because they bought all the rights to this tape that they had.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, they just put out a brand new Robin Williams album.
That's kind of cool.
So, yeah.
Well, that's very cool. All right, so Rob is here. We're going to do some news here, award-winning news that only Civic Media can bring you because this is the Civic Media Radio Network. And we'll come back and talk to Rob a little more about comedy and Christmas and everything he's got cooking. And maybe we'll hear a little something. Conrad, I know you pulled a clip, right? So that'll be exciting. We'll expose you to more of the very funny Rob Breckenridge. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back. Hanging out with Rob Breckenridge here at Nightlight tonight. He is in the studio, sitting right next to me. If you're not tuned in on the stream, you'd be well served. You can see his new mustache.
Yep. Like Charlie Chaplin. Every time I look at it, I look funnier with a mustache. I think, you know.
Yeah, there's something about it. I agree. It's something about a mustache.
It's comedic. I got a comedic face. Let's face it.
You got a great voice, too. Like, I love how you, when you're on stage and you're in a joke, and then you just kind of transition into this whole new voice.
Like Barney Fife or something. I don't know. And no one knows who Barney Fife is. I went through that whole thing where, because back when I first started in stand up in the early 1920s,
you opened for Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, I would do Barney Fife. Everyone knew who he was. Then I had to say Mr. Furley.
Yeah.
And then he died. Now no one knows who he is.
Now it's here's a guy.
Yeah. Here's a guy that talks like this.
You were telling a story during the break that I would love it if you would repeat it, about the comedian Brian Regan. We are both huge fans of his. I had the absolute pleasure of working with him. I think he told this story in St. Louis. We were in the green room between shows, and he said he was the front of the layup line on the basketball team in high school. Mm-hmm. He said, they just liked me because I was funny. I wasn't very good at basketball, but to start the season, the whole gym's going crazy, the band's playing, and I'm the first guy that's got to make a layup, and the guy passes me the ball, and it goes off my knee into the band. Like, all the momentum from the gym stuff.
It built up to this point.
Like, somehow Brian Regan is funnier, or as funny offstage as he is on.
He really is.
But you had a great story. Please tell that.
Oh, he's always been my favorite. Whenever anyone asks me who my favorite comedian is, other than Pete Schwab, I always say...
It's very sweet of you. No,
I always say Brian, because he's amazing. The amount of stuff he comes up with, it's amazing. But he was working the Skyline Comedy Club during the pandemic, and it was almost one of the only clubs open. So we got the huge Brian Regan, who would normally play at the PAC. He's now at the club. And I wanted to sneak in surreptitiously and just watch his act and then sneak out. And so I get into the elevator, and I don't know if you've been to the Skyline, but
yeah,
it's got, you have to get, you have to get in an elevator to go up there. And so I'm waiting for the elevator, and then it opens, and who's in there? Brian Regan was in.
Wow.
And I was just like fanboying it out. And I'm, oh, thank you, Brian, for coming out here. I'm a big fan. And I really, and while the elevator's going up, I just talked the whole time. I didn't, I would, you know.
He
I
just starts pressing other floors.
Yeah. But then the thing opens up and he's like, okay. You know, and he walks away and I'm like, stupid, stupid, stupid. And I watched the whole show. And then he's coming off after the show. He comes off and he comes right up to me and he goes, do you like cigars? And I went, yes, I do. And he goes, well, I'll sell you one. He goes, you got $50? And so we went out, and my friend Johnny Beaner was there too. And we went out. He had his bus right in the parking lot. That's where he stayed in his big luxury.
He's like John Madden of comedy. That's
it's a
so
luxury
cool.
hotel. He took us on a tour through the bus. And we sat there till 3 a.m, drinking and just talking and laughing. And it was the best.
Was there any inappropriate activity?
Well, there was a little bit. I don't know if I can mention it. It's illegal. It's illegal in Wisconsin.
Oh, dear. Oh, okay. Well, I think I know what you're referring to.
Yeah. Of course. And I had a little bit, and he said, well, what's that? And I said, well, that's, you know. And he said, oh, well, maybe I'll try some. Oh. So I filled him a little one, you know, and he took it. And about 5 minutes later, he goes, I got to go to bed, you guys.
Because he killed the party.
Yes, I did kill the party.
But wait, he never tried it before?
He had tried it. Oh, He just gets paranoid on it. Some people get paranoid on it. Some, and it depends, you know.
Right.
There's so many different kinds that some make you relax, some make you sleepy, some makes you think everyone in backy is a cop.
That's so cool. So you, Brian Regan, and Johnny Beaner all hanging out. Yeah, that's a fun.
And it was the coolest hang I think I've ever done.
Wow. And that's like, I love that you still get, like, you're Rob effing Brackenridge.
Yeah, I know.
You got a name. Hey. You've been around a few years, and you still geek out when you see someone who you looked up to.
Oh, yeah, but I'm nobody compared to him. I play little one-nighters and stuff, and no one really knows who I am. Up until the TikTok thing, now people come out and they go, oh, we've seen all your TikToks and stuff.
Oh, that's amazing.
But before that, they're just like, oh, you were really funny. How come I've never heard of you? Or sometimes people come up and go, you should do this for a living. You're good enough to do this for a living. And I've done it for 35 years, and I'm just like, thank you. I will try.
Move along.
Yeah.
Can Brian Regan grow a mustache like the one you're rocking tonight? I doubt it.
Sweet.
Doubt it.
The old mustache.
What do you have other clubs, Rob, that are your favorites to work first in Wisconsin and then nationwide? Where do you like to go?
Well, obviously the Skyline, you know, I go there and
is that like your home club, would you say? Okay.
Yep. And I started there in 96. I was working there, and the guy that owned it, and then I was actually emceeing for Mitch Hedberg the week before. I was headlining at the Skyline.
Wow.
And the owners called me up. They go, hey, we just saw your name in the paper. You're in Green Bay opening for Mitch Hedberg. And I said, yeah. And they go, well, you're headlining for us the next week. And I go, yeah. Screen. Those are two different cities.
Right.
And he goes, well, I don't know if I don't know if we're going to keep you. And I'm like, okay, well, let me know within the next hour because I got to rebook the week, you know. And I hung up on him, and I didn't think. And then he calls me up like 5 minutes later. Okay, but just don't do it again. You remember that? How people are like in.
You know, I had an issue with that club. I loved working the club, and then certain owners came in, and I just did not hit it off. I just thought they just didn't treat people very well. And if they loved you and you were a big name, they would throw you, they would bounce you, they would, you know, bump you from the show with a week's note, like you just said.
Yeah,
it's just not cool. So
they didn't run it really well. I don't think at the beginning. Then they learned more. Okay. You know, and now they sold it to a guy that now has 7 clubs all over the country. So it's kind of owned by a big industry now.
My guest is Rob Brackenridge. You can check him out at all your stuff is at youtube.com /@RBRack994.
Brack, yeah.
Brack. R Brack. Rob Brackenridge. R Brack. So it's www. I just started to say W. Like, I can't just say YouTube.
Mike gets so, he teases me so much when I say WWW.
Like, what was I thinking?
And that's supposed to be short.
HTTP. go to YouTube.
And when your computer goes,
listen, you make fun of my dial-up, but it's reliable. I rarely get booted. So it's at rbrack994. Just Google Rob Brackenridge. It'll take you right to
YouTube. And then my website has my Rob Brackenridge.
You know. All right. So we have a clip. Let's hear some of Rob's comedy right now, Conrad. You got something, but not too long. I'm just kidding.
I don't want to sit through it.
This will be awkward for you, but
I got to do that every night.
But the dead giveaway here from Wisconsin is if you suffer from what I call the Erno factor. Right? They're like, you guys coming with or no? You guys have supper or no? And stay away from the Wisconsin Shakespeare Festival. That's just embarrassing. They're like, to me or no?
That's so great.
That's the one that got millions of views.
Yeah, it's a great joke. And is it one of those jokes where you go, how did I not think of this? Like,
well, I did think of it a long time ago. That was one of the, when I started doing Wisconsin stuff, I realized I was saying Erno when I first moved to LA. I'm like, hey, you bringing that with or no? And then they go, did you just say, are you bringing that with or no? And I said, yes, that's what I said. And so then I realized that I have an accent and I say weird words. And so I latched onto the Erno thing. And then now I see it everywhere. So I've actually made a little, a little mark on our semantics. Yeah.
So what did you do when people called you on the accent? Did you embrace it or did you, because I feel like when I first moved to LA, people would do that too. Oh, you're from, sometimes they'd say Chicago, sometimes they'd say Wisconsin. I think the Midwest just has kind of a general accent and then it goes into more specifics based on region. But I think I tried to get rid of it. I thought it would hurt me.
I tried to too.
Yeah. But then at some point you're like, and my buddy Mike Siegel said this, he goes, all we have is who we are. That's what sets us apart. Yep. So, you might not get a lead role because you sound like this, but you might get a role where they want a guy like, you know.
So you gotta dance with the girl that brung you.
Yeah.
And that's, and so after a while I stopped trying to, because I would call up and go, hi, this is Rob Brackenridge. And they go, oh, Rab Brackenridge? I go, no, R-O-B. And they go, oh, Rob. Your name is Rob. And I'm like, yeah, my name's Rob.
Sure.
So now I have to say Rob, you know. It's like in Canada, they always have to say, you know.
Yeah.
I say, my name is Rob. And they go, is that short for rabbi? The Canadian accent. If Pink Floyd was from there, they'd be like, you house proud town mouse.
Wow. That's funny. My sister-in-law introduced her to a friend of mine once who spent his whole life, grew up in LA, and her name is Ann, and she has a Chicago thing. And she said her name to him, and he goes, what's her name? Ian? Because she said, I'm Ian.
Ian.
And he thought she was saying Eon or Ann. I'm like, I go, no, who would have their name be that? You know, and he's like, I thought that's what she said.
Yeah, we turn some syllables that are supposed to be short, Eon.
Yeah.
Just should be Ann.
Yeah, right.
And Australian people, when they say no, they go, no, I'm no. What are you saying? I'm saying no. No. It's N-O, no.
Oh, that's funny. I was at a drive-thru with my daughter recently, and the woman said, thanks. And my daughter kept imitating her all the way home because she said, thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks. It's like, yeah, that doesn't even sound like thanks. I'm used to it. But if you're from somewhere else, you go, what the hell? It's like when that Making of a Murderer came out on Manitowoc, I had friends that lived in other parts of the country that had to turn on the subtitles.
Yes.
Even though it's American English.
It really, bag, the word bag.
Yeah.
B-A-G. We say big. Where's the big? Where's my big? I left it by the Piggly Wiggly. I don't know where my big is. And the first time I went to Los Angeles, I go, you know where my big is? And they're like, big? It's pronounced bag. And I'm like, well, I beg to differ. So I showed that guy.
Do you have a, I used to like working the road. I didn't do it for that long, so I have fond memories. I could see where it would get old. Do you still work the road, and do you have stories of things going horribly wrong or a really positive story? What are your favorite road stories?
I've had so many good ones and bad ones. I'm heading out next month. I'm in Florida, Bahamas, and Myrtle Beach. So I'm escaping the winter.
Wow, nice. But good work.
Yeah, I did one show in where was it? The North Pole. I was opening for the Red Hot Chili Peppers and the Violent Femmes. And it was a thing called the Molson Ice Polar Beach Party.
And it was in the North Pole.
Magnetic North Pole. A little different. It's called Resolute. It's like the Iqaluit Indians live there.
Oh, wow.
And they took us up there. It was a contest winners on a Russian icebreaker that they turned into a cruise ship. And we're way up there, and it's 100 contest winners and 400 cases of Molson Ice beer, the strong stuff.
Whoa.
And those were the drunkest people I've ever performed for. And, you know, and the violent femmes.
And you're from Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, see, I do a whole bunch of USO tours back in the 90s. Oh. I was doing a show in Milwaukee, and some guy goes, hey, would you like to go to, where was it, Korea? And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. So we did a tour of Korea. I toured with Larry Wilmore. Do you know him?
Larry Wilmore. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The writer.
Yeah.
Oh, he's very funny.
Yeah. Oh, we had the blast. And we went all over the place, you know, all over the world.
No kidding.
Like 12 different countries I did for Molson or Miller Lite was the
peak. Okay.
So we'd have to like bring all this paraphernalia. You know, it was Miller Lite and Molson and Marlboro. Miller Lite and Marlboro. So we bring them cigarettes and beer.
That's like a Vice tour. Yeah. Yeah,
it was.
So the contest winners got to go on an Russian
icebreaker.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
What kind of contest?
And when the Chili Peppers performed, we got off the ship because, you know, they didn't want to do it on the ship. So we went to, that's where we went to Resolute, and they let all the indigenous people come to the show. And they had never even seen white people before.
Oh, my gosh.
Now they're looking at Flea and Anthony. And they're like,
probably not wearing pants.
Who are these guys? You know? they'll be talking about for hundreds of years. They'll be many years ago. The men with socks upon their things performed here, and they were very loud.
And were you like the opener?
Yeah. Oh no, I was the only comedian. So I would introduce them, and then I would do some time in between them and the Violent Femmes.
That's In between.
Yep.
Okay.
I got to meet Brian. We were talking Wisconsin. You know the.
That's so great. Let's pick up there. That doesn't sound like a bad road story, though.
That sounds like
a pretty good one. So we'll pick up there. Rob Brackenridge is here in the studio with me here at Nightlight. Great to have you with me. I'll read more of your texts when we come back, and we'll have a few more minutes with Rob on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's progress we have found.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
So, all right, from the 608, I think this might be Anna, who says, my dad loves cheese fudge. It sounds terrible, but it's not bad. I think if you have to explain to people.
Yeah, I don't think sweetness belongs in cheese.
But cheesecake. Like oh yeah, that's Heather
true.
Was saying.
But that's not real cheese.
Correct. That's true.
It's like pudding.
But I believe there's been so many things I've turned my nose up at over the years, and then I try it, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. Like, so I'll go with that. That's a great one.
Yeah.
608. Jim from Appleton says, chocolate-covered nuts. Pecans.
Sorry, I'm Rob very juvenile. I'm very juvenile. I'm sorry. I hang out with Mary
I'm
Field
sure
too.
That's been done before too. Chocolate covered nuts,
oh, sure it is.
Pecans, walnuts, pistachios, and best of all, cashews. Yes,
I do.
Chocolate
like
covered cashews are phenomenal. Great stuff, Jim. Amanda also said, "What did Conrad say, Amanda, before when she told Heather to scoot over?"
Yeah, but
and then she left. That was in the Nightlight text, I think. I want to find that.
You know what a really good chocolate covered thing is? Popcorn. Have you tried that?
Yes, I have. That is God, that's something I didn't think of too. Yeah. I mean, honestly, chocolate is so good. You could put it on basically anything.
Sure.
And it would be great. So, Amanda says, and Butterfinger is her favorite. So, whatever that is, that orange like candy.
Yeah, it's kind of spun. I don't know what it is. It looks like fiberglass or something.
It looks wrong. But so that's a good one too. And then so we got that. And then Bridget from the 818 says chocolate over peanut butter. Aldi has the best peanut butter cups. I've actually had those, Bridget. They're like they're doing what Reese's did, but they're like so much better. And you want to put like six of them in your mouth and just head to Flavor Country.
Yeah.
For the rest of the evening. It's something else.
Yeah, that would sounds good.
So you had, we were telling road stories. We decided we're going to table the rest of your road stories for
your
next appearance.
Yeah, we got to save something for next
time. We got to save something. And part of the reason I did that is because we were talking Bears Packers during the break. Conrad, I don't know if you heard any of that.
I didn't actually.
Okay,
no.
So Rob had, he noticed something about the Packers of recent years that I thought was interesting.
Yeah, well, back in the old days, because I'm an old guy.
Yeah.
Back in the old days, we had manly sounding names like Bart Starr and Ray Nitschke and Vince Lombardi, and then the Bears had Dick Butkus. Actually, no, that one's kind of sketchy. But the rest of them are all, you could sand wood with them. Those are manly names. But now what do we got? Like Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur. That means flower in French. And then we got Romeo Dobbs. Romeo, where for art thou? You know, that's the difference between Shakespeare and the Packers. In Shakespeare, Romeo's looking for love. In the Packers, love is looking for Romeo.
Look at that.
Hey, wait a minute. Come that's on. Genius stuff right there.
Conrad, you didn't laugh till you were prompted. That's hilarious. He's probably watching the game.
He's not listening.
That's hilarious. And so you're a big Packer fan.
I am.
Yeah.
Been to three games this year.
Really?
Yep. I went to two in 1 week. That's a first for me. Sunday and Thursday.
So how do Packer fans, like I have so many friends that have season tickets.
Right.
And it seems like they're always available if you really want to go. Someone's got them and they can't use them. But where do you get tickets from typically?
Well, my buddy's mom died. And, you know.
Oh, that's.
Well, it was sad, but she was pretty old. You know, it was weird. Come on, June. That's just selfish. You're 90.
I want to watch the Lambo leap in person. Let's go.
But you know, that's how most people get them. You know, you get willed them, or when you're born here in Wisconsin, that's one of the gifts they give you as a child. So by the time you're 45, you can actually have them.
How much are season tickets right now?
I don't even.
If you
know.
Wanted Packers season tickets, my cousins have Bears tickets. One of the oldest seat licenses, and I don't even know how much they pay for, because they're like, great seats, right on the 50-yard line, first, second row, whatever. But like, let's say you wanted two end zone seats or up in the nosebleeds.
Yeah.
What are you shelling out for?
Is it
for
500 bucks a year? What? I don't know.
Oh, it's got to be more than that.
More than that? Like, maybe 1,000 or two?
Are you Googling, Conrad?
I am.
I knew he was doing the Google. He has Google face on. I could tell he was Googling. All right, let us know. I'm curious as to how inexpensive you can do Packers season tickets.
It gives me a price range of per game. So it's at $66 to $175.
Per ticket?
Yeah, per game.
So, yeah.
Per ticket, per game. So
and that's how many?
That's only eight games. So eight. That's doable. Well, I mean,
$1,000.
Everything's relative, but that's if you just take that off the top
of
your yearly. But then you go there. And you shell out money for snacks. They're always shaking you down for money.
And they want you to tip all the time, even if you buy a water.
At the Packer games?
Yes, because now everything is cashless. So you just take your card, you put it down there, and then it says, how much tip do you want? And they don't really give you an option. They just say 15%, 20%, and I just say nothing. No, I don't want to give you a tip for a bottle of water. That you're charging me $6 for the bottle of water. Well, I'm supposed to give you like a $2 tip on that. You know?
And what irritates me is you're the Packers or the put in said NFL. You can afford to pay your employees.
Exactly.
Don't shake down your patrons for money. We've talked about that on this show. There's times I've tipped and then I take my food over and I have to wipe off the table. In addition to tipping, it drives me bananas. We have about a minute left, Rob. You ready for Christmas?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? Did you get something nice for your mom? I know you have a great relationship.
I did not. And we decided this year we're not going to have a Christmas tree. We're not going to get presents. We even wrote a song, No Christmas Tree. It's like, no Christmas tree, no Christmas tea. You never even missed you. No mistletoe hung overhead, so no one's going to kiss you. Your tangled lights remain downstairs. Tradition's gone, and no one cares. No Christmas tree, no Christmas tree. We never even missed ya. That was about a minute.
You gotta put that out there, man.
I know. I wish
we parody songs do great. Holiday parody songs.
We need a new one.
Yeah,
because we're singing songs that were written 200 years ago, like "Deck the Halls."
Oh, awful. And
what does that mean?
Dogs barking, jingle bells.
Yeah.
Moving over there. All right, tomorrow night on the show, Greg Schwemm is here, nationally syndicated columnist and comedian, and Sean Katzbach from the Marinette Community Rec Center is going to be talking about a great event they have. Thank you all for your text. Thank you to Heather for coming into the studio, Heather Arndt, and as always, my pal. What's your name again?
I forgot my name.
Rob Mustachio.
Rob Brackenridge.
Rob Brackenridge.
But,
you know, yeah,
but it always goes too fast. Whenever I'm here, it always goes too fast.
We'll do it again soon.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. This is Peach Wobbin Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.